you know, the key is for finding your voice, like you were talking about, Michael, is, you know, is to stay relevant and decide who your audience is. Now, I'm talking about technical blogs to a technical audience. That doesn't necessarily mean that you should start a technical blog. There are some really amazing blogs that people have written about just whatever they're passionate about. One of the most amazing blogs that I've ever seen is a blog where a woman takes a picture of the lunch that she makes for her son every single day. And you would think that that's weird, right? Except she's a sushi artist and makes these just amazing little bento boxes of stuff for her kid. And, you know, who knows? Maybe she's a developer. But she's passionate about it. So, for God's sake, if you're doing something like this, get it online. Please, please, please. There's so many things that people who have the technical chops that you guys have, so many things that you are doing at home that I don't know about that should be online. Someone had a really great website called IKEA Hacking, which was cool stuff you could make with IKEA furniture that's not IKEA, like, sanctioned. That's great. But I mean, look at this. Can you imagine if you're a kid? What do you got? Peanut butter? What do you got? You know, step by step explaining how to do it. That's just so win. There's just so much win wrapped up in that right there. Know your audience. This person picked an audience. Moms who love their kids apparently more than I do. Also, you can know your audience by using statistics tools. I use FeedBurner, I use Google Analytics. Find out where people are. Find out that you've got, and I found that I had a much more international audience than I realized. I realized I had a huge audience in the Middle East. That changed the way I was writing. I was more careful to explain English colloquialisms. I would add expansions for all of my abbreviations. I started to realize that that made it easier for people who didn't speak English to read my blog. Now, this one is the one I break. You know, I say keep overtly personal information out of your technology blog, right? If you're into something outside the mainstream, maybe it involves dress-up, I don't know, that's probably not something you want interleaved with your ASP.NET MVC posts. So there are reasons to decide about. Now, if you're proud of that thing that you do that is outside the mainstream, then, you know, be proud and be loud, and that's great. But you got to find a balance between you will lose readers. For example, you know, my wife is black. I post about my kids. It is within the realm of possibility that people who don't like interracial marriages will not read my blog. That's probably pretty, you know, it's not a particularly controversial thing that I'm doing. But for some slice of people, that it is. Expand that to other things that are considered outside the mainstream, and then you have to decide how strong you are. So to Michael's point about, like, how much do you want to put yourself out there for whatever you do, believe, think, you know. I posted about the election in 2000, and it just made a huge mess of my blog, and I decided I would not blog about politics. Doesn't mean I don't have politics, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to blog about them. So yeah, don't blog about personal things, but then of course I blog about my son, and I get a little achievement for that. One of the worst mistakes that beginners make is to apologize about not blogging enough. If your blog consists mostly of posts about you apologizing for not blogging, then maybe you need to stop blogging, because it's just really sad. Better to say nothing. I haven't blogged in a week, and I feel weird about it, because I feel like I've got stuff to say, and I've got draft posts that are ready to go, but I'm not going to apologize for it, and it just makes people, you know, I didn't come here to read about why you're not blogging. I came here to read your blog. And I can say, steer clear of politics. It's just not worth the effort. Avoid blogging bile. I really am impressed by people where you search around for them and you find that they're interesting, helpful, kind individuals that are not calling people names. It's just refreshing to see 5-10 years of footprints on the internet where it turns out that someone's a pleasant person. Even more, when someone makes a mistake, and then rather than deleting the post, adds to it or follows up and explains why said mistake happened. People love transparency. That's the one thing that we're learning about blogging, you know, from a political point of view or from a crisis management point of view, is just tell people what happened. Just explain what's up, and they will understand if you're straight with them. Try to fake it, try to be mean about it, or try to delete it. You'll get nailed, which comes to thinking before you blog. Every time I've ever gotten nailed online when I didn't do my research, when I made declarative statements about this works like this. I don't mean that in a technical sense, but it's like I was. I wrote a post that was kind of famous for a week about Google Chrome, the browser, and some of the ways that they were using some techniques. And I knew that it was going to be controversial, so I really put the work into thinking about it and making sure that was correct. Another time I did a post on another thing, and I made some declarative statements, and I got just destroyed. People are like, you know, you didn't even try to research this, and a simple Wikipedia search and a simple search shows that this, this, and this is totally wrong. I could have pretended it didn't exist. I could have deleted the post and tried to say it didn't happen. But instead, I used the strikeout command, right, where you keep the text there, but you strike it out. And I just said, okay, well, here's what happened. I'm sorry. Da-da-da-da-da. People like that stuff. So to your point, Michael, about putting yourself out there, yeah, you're going to screw up. You're going to write silly for loops and put them in public. Hopefully, if you foster a positive attitude and a positive community, people will be cool.
Well, I think the other thing to take view is, you know, eventually the river washes over.
Nobody cares about anything anyone of us does. Yeah. The controversy will pass, right? Everyone forgets those things. I personally avoid posting throwaways. Sometimes you go to people's blogs and it'll just be like a two-liner or a three-liner. I like to just have a sense of about yay, about that much. You know, if I can't post that much, I'm probably not saying anything. But then, you know, it belongs somewhere else. So I try not to throw away a perfectly good post. Quoting is a really interesting one. There are some bloggers who have become quite famous where most of their blog is half or more of someone else's blog. So they'll quote something. If this gets more than about half of someone else's content, it's no longer blogging. It's called reblogging. And this is a very common mistake, and one of the first mistakes that I made, where I would just see something interesting. And this is how everyone thought blogging initially worked. You'd copy-paste the entire thing on your blog and say, check this out. Because that was what we do in email, right? Find something cool, add check this out, and then forward it to your friends. People would do the same thing on blogs. But excessive quoting is considered inappropriate, and now that blogs are proven to actually live for some period of time on the web, they won't necessarily be deleted. Pick a reasonable chunk and then link off to it. Spell check. We were having a discussion about on Twitter about what is it about social networks that make it that people cannot differentiate between your and your and there. You know, so it's just like at some point, seventh grade English went out the window, and now you know, no one cares. I think that a really good way to flip the bozo bit on someone is to not use spell check. See, now you guys are just using your English degrees or whatever. Pay attention to formatting. Sometimes I'll go to a blog and you'll see that like one post has a nice black normal text and the next post is like purple Times New Roman. It's just sloppy. That's the example we were talking about at the very beginning of the talk, where there is some implied authority or at least some implied reputation by whether or not you are tidy. So when you present yourself online, you know, a little bit of effort with spelling and an organization will solve that problem. And using a tool like Windows Live Writer that does all that work for you is a really good way to make sure that your posts look clean. I read more and more blogs that don't have comments, and I think that's lame. I think if you don't have comments, you don't have a blog, you have a website. I really think comments are a really fundamental part of blogging. And there are tools for doing comment spam. You can do moderation, where they'll say, I'm going to hold your comment, and I'll look at it first to make sure there's no naughty words or something in it. And then there are things like, there's a tool called Akismet, which is a web service where you send the comment off, and it looks at it and figures out if it's spam, and then gives you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Tools like DOSBlog and Subtext have those things built in, such that you're going to get that that support automatically. Going out and claiming your feed, making sure that people know that something exists, like going to Technorati and saying that this is my blog, is a way for you to start tracking who's reading your blog and who's referring back to it. This was a really interesting one. This really hit me. There were 11 different ways to get to my blog. All went to the exact same location, but all the URLs were different because I hadn't picked one to be canonical. And even the difference between the trailing backslash and not having a backslash looked like a different blog. So this was causing search engines to get confused. And you can search around for canonical links. And I've got, if you go to Hanselman.com/suckless, I've got a whole series of explanations about how to solve these different kinds of problems. These are mostly kind of housekeeping things, but it's the difference between having a blog and having a nice, tidy place online that people are going to appreciate. And like that example I just gave where I said go to Hanselman.com/suckless to get these tips. Sometimes when you have a post that's really popular, it's nice to make a friendly URL to that particular post. So for example, I have a post that's famous at Hanselman.com/tools. That's my ultimate developer tools list. And it's a really, really long URL. It's really quite obnoxious because that's the way my blogging engine works. The URL is that. And that's why I made a redirect at Hanselman.com/tools. You can also go up to sites like Bitly that we saw on Twitter, and you can make tiny friendly URLs too. Same thing at TinyURL. Your URLs don't necessarily have to have funny text. They can actually be really detailed. This is a really good way to jumpstart a blog, is to have a code garage sale. If you don't think you have anything to talk about, but you've been writing code professionally for 10 years, you probably do have something to talk about. You got crap in your garage. Have a sale. Bring it out. I mean, take some snippets, all those projects, throw away little things that you've been doing over the years, but you've never put anywhere. Put them on SourceForge, put them on GitHub, put them on your blog, put them out there so that when you get hit by a bus, someone will be able to find that stuff. That's another thing, to Michael's point about, well, you know, do you really want to expose that part of you? You put a big enough disclaimer on anything and you can pretty much be okay on the net. I've got all sorts of console applications that are 20 lines long that are garbage that I've thrown out on the web, and it's not that big of a deal. If you go to the Creative Commons website, Creative Commons, you can choose to license your stuff. This is a really important kind of step one for bloggers, is to decide what do I want people to do when they like my content? Do I want them to license it? Do I want them to share, and if they share alike? Do I want them to attribute that this was my blog, or do I care? You can go up and decide whether you want to license your content. It's totally free. You just fill out a questionnaire, and they give you a little stamp. And Creative Commons is a really, really friendly way of saying, I'll let you use my content, but I want to retain the copyright. And if you go on Flickr, when you're looking for clip art, go to the advanced search section of Flickr. You can say, only search images that are Creative Commons. That way, you're not going to go and steal some photographer's work. And then respect Creative Commons when you are on blogs and talking about other people's stuff. You know, do the best you can to make it really easy to subscribe. You want to make sure you have a feed that's a nice, clear feed that is available on the homepage. A really funny example I've been using for, 5 years now, which is sad because you'd think they'd see my talk and get it handled. This is First Technology Credit Union. This is Microsoft's credit union. First Technology Credit Union. See the little RSS thing there that's not lit up orange? Okay, for want of one line of HTML that is not lit up. See this link right here? That's a picture of an RSS button. Well, you think I click on that, I'll probably get an RSS feed, right? Let's find out. Oh, no, I get a page about an RSS feed. And the thing's still not lit up. And now what do I click on? There are mechanisms, one line of HTML, that you can light up this button. So that when someone goes to your website, the first thing that happens is this lights up, and then I can subscribe in one click. First Technology Credit Union has been not doing that for a number of years, and it's starting to bug me. So let them know. Make it easy to read. A lot of blog engines include templates for mobile. If you hit my site on an iPhone or on a BlackBerry or Windows mobile phone, you'll get a mobile experience, and it'll be a good one. A lot of this is built in. You don't really have to do anything anymore if you pick the right blogging engine. And of course, if you want to be contacted, try to make it easy. I don't use my email. I use a contact form with a little CAPTCHA to make sure that I don't get spam bots sending me mail. But I want to be, you know, I want to be made available, but I don't want to expose my personal information. So there are contact forms where you can have things remailed to you, just like in Craigslist where they hide your email address and you can answer questions. And, you know, and have an About Me page. Even if you have a pseudonym, I'd like to know, you know, are you a programmer? Are you not a programmer? Where do you work? You know, those kinds of things. You'll see people who have chosen not to put their identity on the internet, but they'll say, oh, I'm an IT manager at a large bank, yada, yada, yada. It gives a little bit of context, lets people know a little bit about them. And then another way that you could get involved in the social networking without necessarily having a blog is if you're an avid bookmarker, if you're someone that keeps tracks of links, then you can use a thing called Delicious. Anyone here use Delicious? A couple people? If you go to delicious.com, this is a bookmarking service, and you can just drag little bookmarklets, they're little pieces of JavaScript, up into your toolbar, and this allows you to, like, say, add to favorites, except you're not saying add to your local favorites, you're doing it up on the web. But it's a social service, so if you go to delicious.com/shanselman, you can see things that I have bookmarked. So when I bookmark something, it automatically shows up here. People who are fans of mine can see what I'm about to blog about a few days ahead of time because I'm doing research and bookmarking stuff. And I can go up and see stuff. Here's a 56-inch multi-touch television, right? So I can go and click on that link, see what it's about. But I can see that it's been tagged. You can see what things are tagged about, who's tweeting about them, and who else has also bookmarked. So, for example, I don't know who this person is, but let's say that I keep running into them. We bookmark the same stuff. You just kind of discover this. You go, wow, you know, whoever this person, Michelle, she keeps tagging things the way I tag them and bookmarking things. I'm going to subscribe to this person's bookmarks so that when they bookmark something, I'll see it too. This is a whole world that's not Twitter, that's not Facebook, that's, again, totally permissive. You choose what you want to show or what you don't want to show. And all you have to do is just add a little link to your Internet Explorer and then bookmark that as opposed to adding favorites. And it also allows me to say, well, looks like she's clicking on web design. Let's look at her web design bookmarks. So this is this individual's web design bookmarks. But maybe I want to see not just hers, I want to see popular web design bookmarks. So these are all of the things that are being bookmarked by people using that tag. So now I'm starting to use crowdsourcing. Suddenly we just went from things I bookmarked to things someone who is similar to me bookmarked to things that the world is bookmarking within a certain tag. And I go, wow, well, it looks like this must be a really great thing. 250 resources to help you become a CSS expert. I want to check that out. So then I will make sure to hit save and then sign on, and I would go and do that. So that's social bookmarking. That's a really great way, if you're working on a particular kind of code that's obscure, to find out what other people are bookmarking as resources to solve the problems that they're doing. And it doesn't require you to have a blog or do anything that involves putting yourself out there. That's Delicious. You know, keep track of what's above the fold. Don't make people scroll, the old rule. Integrate search. It's nice so when people can search your blog from your blog. I like to use FeedBurner because it gives me lots of statistics, and they also handle all of the traffic for my RSS feed. Bandwidth can be a big problem if your blog becomes popular and you're an idiot like me. The favorite icon, you know, the little thing that appears up there in the... So like this little, my little tiny head up here. Well, it's kind of massive head, but that little icon I made a long, long time ago, and I got an email from my hoster that I'd used 250 gigs of bandwidth that month. So I'm thinking, oh, right. It's happening, right? Fame has come. So I start looking at the logs. Well, it turns out that my favorite icon was 70K. Well, every browser, every time, asks for this icon, and 70K is an inappropriate size for an icon that is 8x8. Turns out that using a Windows icon maker, which also includes 32x32, 64x64, and other sizes that are not used in that tiny 8x8 thing there, or 16x16, was a bad idea. So once I got that icon down to a few K, things became all right. and I was, in fact, not famous. Almost done. This blog has moved. It's just a horrible thing. If you visit someone's blog and the very last post isn't them saying we're sorry, but that they've moved their blog and you should update your bookmarks. Don't make me update your bookmarks. The internet is full of computers. Computers can do these things for us. You guys are familiar with the 302 redirect. 301 redirect is called moved permanently. And it's a really great thing because that HTTP status code will update people's bookmarks for them. If you, in fact, have a blog or something and you want to update their bookmarks, a moved permanently status code will do that for you. So this is the other important thing. Don't break links. 404s are a bad idea. If you want eyeballs, but you move something, it's really hard to ever have them see it again. I think you should pick a blog and stay there. But some people, like I said, have opinions about different things outside the mainstream. So they might have one blog for their political views and one blog for their technical views and one blog for their kids' bento boxes. And in doing that, I think it's a good idea to avoid cross-posting because then the eyeballs are going to be in multiple places. Again, all of this stuff is up at hanselman.com/suckless, and I'm about a minute over right now, so I'm going to bust through the last two. I think category-specific feeds are lame. This is just me. People like category-specific feeds. Some guy emailed me once and said he wanted a feed just so he could read it if I posted about PowerShell. He didn't want to hear about my garden anymore, and I didn't want to give him a link to my PowerShell stuff. He can follow the whole person, or he can use Bing. Yeah, and you're totally not going to get rich. I don't know. I mean, all this pro-blogger nonsense about people making lots of money, you could probably live in a trailer health, you know, if you have like a really popular blog. But I'm still making gadget money on my blog. If I get a couple $100, you know, a month off of ads, that's a pretty awesome month, and I can, you know, pay my cell phone bill. But the idea that one's going to make, I mean, I have never met anyone who's made, other than like your tech crunches and those kind of people that are making thousands on blogs. And ultimately, just, you know, try to blog interesting, which gets into the social networking thing. Just, you know, if you are interesting, then people will find you. If you don't think you're interesting, but you want to find interesting people, they are out there. There are tools to use, whether it be Twitter, blogs, Stack Overflow, forums, Delicious. And I think that everyone, I would be interested after we're done here to hear whether or not anyone, in fact, will consider starting a blog after hearing this talk. But I'm about 3 minutes over, so I'll just stop it right there. Thank you very much.